It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I think it's going to be a two-man crew, like two live crew. We'll get into that in just a second. And my brother from a different mother, and that would be Kyle from LaGrange Baba. What's up, man?
Going on, dude?
Well, I found out something today, so we can talk about that in our round table or square table or triangle table, whichever one you want to pick tonight. It's your call which table we sit out when we do our podcast.
All right.
But the role of Bubba will be played by Kyle tonight, because any question I have for Bubba...
What's going on, what's going on, Dave? How you doing?
We're actually throwing some shade. Not really, but we're having fun because he wanted to record tonight, and I guess he fell asleep. So, but we're still going to have fun, and it'll be me and Kyle tonight. So Kyle and I, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And
I found out today...
That's right.
We can make it if we try.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Just the two of us. Just me and you.
Let's do it. So I found out today, of course, you and I have, you said this last year, so I'll give you credit for it, that they should do, which they're doing, the spring game in Pirates Fest the same weekend. Remember that? We were talking about the plain white tees last year and all that. And then this year, do you know who's playing at the same time we have our great event on Saturday?
Yeah, I heard Biz Markie and Tone Loke.
Yeah, so
and,
you...
Yeah, you got to choose between Biz Markie and Tone Loke or the Sports Objective podcast party. You got to choose.
Well, I was
thinking
what you could do is you could actually... You do a great Biz Markie, so I was thinking that maybe...
Oh, you want me to perform it at the podcast party?
So I think it would be great, so nobody will miss
out.
Yeah,
that way you can get two in one. You choose to come hang out with us instead of going to see Biz Markie, and I tell him, look, you get to hear me go, oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you. I can do that.
Yeah, exactly. All you have to do is close your eyes, and we'll give you Biz Markie.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy talk. I mean, I know it was like the style back then, but the guy talks through
and
the song.
And you know, by the way,
and we all love it.
Yeah, and you know, by the way, David, Bubba, he get paid to do the wild thing.
And he's
drinking
some
actually cold Medina.
I don't think he does a Chiba Chiba, but that was the single they tried to make big, but it didn't really go anywhere. But
I hear. If you
know the album? Do you remember the album title?
No, I don't.
Loke After Dark, baby.
Loke After Dark. You know, I hear if you give Bubba $100, he'll make you holla. You get paid to do the wild thing.
Oh my goodness, I wish we had that though.
He drinks his funky gum in the universe.
He does?
Yeah, he does.
Oh wow! No, Loke, I would love to.
Cole Medina. So I guess technically what we're doing right now is promoting our competition.
Well, you know, I thought the people are going to go to it regardless. So all we need
is—that's right. And look,
we're having fun.
Had we known the concert was going on, we might not have scheduled this. But
no,
it is what it is.
Well, and Linus right now is saying, "Hey guys, we only need 50 for that room." So,
right,
the party room only seats 50 people. So if we were performing, and it was like a 5,000-seat arena. And you have a free concert.
If we're at that level, homie, then, that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be great. We'd be getting paid. But if you have that arena, I'd be sweating a little bit to have a free concert, Town Common, Pirates Fest. But we love Pirates Fest. We love Uptown Greenville and all of what they're doing.
Yeah, go have fun. Yeah, if you're going to that, go to that and have fun and support it. We need more stuff like that in Greenville. In fact, we're gonna get with the powers that be. We're gonna get with Gilbert.
Yeah.
And
nice
who
segue.
The hell else we need to get with?
Ryan. Robinson.
Ryan Robinson next
That's our
year.
Guy. Ryan.
Ryan,
you listen to this podcast. Listen up.
Next year, post-spring game, they've tried concerts at Daddy Ficklin before.
Do it the right way.
Yes. Let's do it in early spring, not before football season. Next year, we've talked about this before. We planned who it should be. Mass appeal. It's going to appeal to students.
Older people like me.
David's age, people my age.
And older than me.
People you like country, 50. You like rock. Bon Jovi. And it's
That'll
got an ECU
huge.
Tie. Living on a Prayer has become an anthem in East Carolina during football games.
Kids are 18 years old know that song.
Yes, let's get Bon Jovi and Dowdy Ficklin next year. Let's do a concert post spring game. Let's, you know, that night. You have the spring game early afternoon, get the stadium ready. That night, let's do Bon Jovi, sell tickets, let's pack that place. Let's be simple. Don't overthink it. Bon Jovi with Parmalee. Let's go.
They would do it. They're fantastic. If you've never seen them in concert,
and again, country. They're local guys. They would actually be a really good fit to open for Bon Jovi. It makes sense. Because of, you know, if they were in the '80s, they would be a rock band.
Correct.
So, that would work great. Let's book it. We came out with the configuration. What we're going to do? We're going to set the stage up on the Boneyard end. And we just won't sell the Boneyard. We're going to sell the north side and the south side and the field. And that way
you can use
the Jumbotron. That way everybody will have a really good view because, you know, maybe you're sitting further away, can't see the stage good, you can see the Jumbotron. So there you go. It's done. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get it done. We're going to get with Ryan Robinson and John Gilbert. We're going to get this done.
I'm telling you, if you promote this, get enough, put tickets on sale, you promote it, and say you have Upper Deck, what would you say, $25 seat?
$25 to $35, Upper Deck. And then the lower level on the north
side,
south side, you could probably come up with two prices for that. You could
maybe 50 and 75?
Maybe 50 and 75, closer to the stage. You know, maybe 50 and 75, and then on the ground, you do 100 to, depending on how far back you go with the seats on the field, say 100 to 75 on the field.
And you also
can
sell the
club. If you're
going to
go real far back on the field, then maybe do 50 to 100. Yeah, 100 to going back to 50, depending on how far you're going to go with seats on the field. Because I never quite understand the concert sometimes why, like, the very last row on the floor costs more than the first row in the stands.
Thank you.
I always think that's stupid because many times the first row in the stands is way better than the last row on the floor.
Correct. In fact, we had perfect example on our anniversary, June 22nd of 2018. They had Tim McGraw, Faith Hill at PNC Arena, and
right.
We had tremendous seats. Kirsten was like, oh my God, like I had a limo for her. I had the arena club level. No, I'm just saying, like, it was the reason I was agreeing with you is I had really good seats on the side near the stage.
Yeah,
that's way better than all the way at the back.
Yeah,
it was back there.
Eric Church, Greensboro Coliseum, his first headlining tour in 2013. I had the very front row of, it would have been like the most expensive basketball seats you could buy if you were going to a basketball game.
Right.
Coliseum. It was the very front row on the side of the permanent seating. And it was even with the mosh pit. That's what it was even with.
Okay.
So the mosh pit in front of the stage.
Right.
Well, those tickets were about $25 cheaper than the last row on the floor, but I was even with the mosh pit. Now, what kind of sense does that make?
It does not make any sense.
But
I think it's the reason why they do it is they do it because they want to be on the floor.
Well, I think it's also laziness. I think they just don't want to have so many different ticket pricing levels. But yeah, that's what you do. And by the way, Bon Jovi has not been booked to play it. Let's be clear.
No.
Me and David are just trying to get this done.
You know, if you say something and you put it out in the
universe, put it out there, like Mike
makes
is going to be our next head coach.
We did. Hey, that's right. See, thank you, Pirate Nation.
And
we talked about that in July, and we were more than that. But on the record for this podcast, we talked about that when we had him on. I know end of July of 2018. So nobody can say that. Oh yeah, Mike Houston. We actually had him on our podcast before any other media in Greenville.
That's right. Except for Jeff Charles. Except for Jeff Charles.
That's right. Jeff did have. That's right. Jeff did have him on. But
we had him back in July. You know what we did back in July was have people on that maybe we thought would be candidates for head coaches and ADs.
In
Carolina, we had him on. We had Doug Martin on. We had a few more people on, and then ADs. We had, you know, we missed on the AD. We didn't have John Gilbert on.
Right.
But we got the head coach right, and yeah. So right.
And
now,
we got the story once we found out about Gilbert.
Right.
We broke the story. So.
We did. But right now we're trying to get in the atmosphere. Next year for
the next breaking
game.
Story, we're going to make this happen.
And Bob Jovi, spring game weekend next year.
Yeah.
That
Let's do it. Ryan Robinson, come on, man. I'll have to email him, and we'll have formal meetings and get all the plans and all that
stuff.
Well,
we really don't have to be involved in it at all, but, I mean, as long as they'll do it. But I think they would be wise to take our advice.
Can you imagine when we're talking about building, you know that one of my things, my legacy, is I want to see the spring game to be big and huge and an event.
Yeah, you imagine how many more people would be in Greenville? Yeah, I mean. You do the spring game, you're going to have to – this is going to be a little logistic problem. You're probably going to maybe have to move the spring game up until 12 o'clock. That way you have the spring game from 12 to 1:30. That
right.
way you have time to get everything
Five
set up
six
for the
hours,
concert.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to, let's say, a 7:30 concert start time. That could be a little bit of an issue, but you have plenty of time. If you play
yeah.
at 12, over with at 1:30 – you know, then you get everybody out of there by between two and three, and you give them plenty of time to get set up. But so we're going to get this done next year for the spring game weekend. We're going to have Bon Jovi there.
Oh my God, that would be
all
awesome.
The extra people that'll be in town for the concert. You know, come on out to the spring game.
We just want free tickets for our
idea. It's
going to
be bigger than the Pirate Purple and Gold Pixie Big Out Party was in the '80s and early '90s. We're going to
make Bon Jovi fans.
That's right.
That are not ECU fans that will. I'm telling you.
Yeah, sure.
Bon Jovi has a
They're
huge
in town anyway,
following.
So why not check out this Pirate football thing?
They have a huge following. They
Absolutely.
Always have.
I saw
the 80s,
PNC
by
Arena.
The way.
I saw them at PNC Arena last year on Tuesday night, and PNC Arena holds around 20,000, and it was sold out on a Tuesday night. So there you go. I mean, it's just let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, and we won't. I tell you what. I remember growing up. I used to always say in the '80s, if you wanted to have a girlfriend or a date, women in rock music at that time loved three bands. Okay, Journey, Def Leppard, and Bon Jovi were three bands that the women always loved. The ladies of my age loved. And if you said anything bad about them, look out. You're probably going to be alone, my friend. So those three bands. But Bon Jovi is definitely. That would be a huge draw. And another thing is that when you think about the price, ticket prices, they can make a lot of money off that show. More importantly, I know that you would, I really feel confident they could sell tickets to that show unless.
I do too.
Bon Jovi doesn't overprice tickets. So I feel like with the upper deck, you could probably get away with $25 seats. All in the upper deck, and then you charge.
I mean,
like
even
50.
If you had to sell them, to me, even if you had to sell them for 30 or 40, to me, it's the high end.
Right.
It's when you get into those ridiculous.
And $100 a seat on the floor.
If every seat on the ground is $100 to $150, that becomes a problem. But you know, the first few rows is $100 fine, but then after that, we need to have $70 and $60 seats on the field. And then, you know, in the stands, the upper deck, let's say 30 for the upper deck, and then the lower levels in the stands, you know, anywhere from 40 to, say, you know, 60 or 70. And that way it's reasonable. You can go. And maybe by next – something else, Dave. Maybe by next spring when our wishful thinking concert happens, maybe it'll be legal to sell alcohol in Dowdy Pickle.
Well, that was my next thing. That was – that's why we're a great team. We're all three of us. And Bubba, what do you think?
Well, I want to say, you know, I love Bon Jovi. You know, living on a prayer, it gets me fired up when I'm at football games here at Dowdy Ficklin. So, and I love praying anyway. So, I mean, that sounds good to me, guys.
Well, Bubba is wanted dead or alive, but he's not here tonight. So I guess he's dead right now, sleeping. Sleeping on the podcast, but he's not snoring on the podcast. So
that's true. Well, you know, it's bad weather.
I'm feeling it right now.
I know the Raleigh area was expecting severe storms. I don't know how far west it was going.
Well, it's bad here with me right now. So
yeah. And you know what, Dave, you give love a bad name.
I know I do. That's okay. But, you know, I'll be there for you, by the way.
Well, you know, I know it's true.
Yeah. We could do I can do Bon Jovi songs all night. Hey, let's
someday.
Get to our first...
You know what? Someday it'll be Saturday night and Bon Jovi will be playing at Dottie Ficklin.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who says you can't go home? I'm back home in Greenville, so an area.
That's right.
Maybe one of these days, Kyle, I'll be back home in Williamston.
You know, when I do go back home to Williamston to visit my dad, you know, it'll be a blaze of glory.
There you go. Let's go to our first guest. Bubba and I earlier today had a chance to talk to a really cool dude. Let's go! That's what he said to me the first time I met him and talked to him. Mark Liviano, he's actually works in construction out there in the UCLA, LA area, and he's trying to do a tailgate. I don't know how much he's going to be able to do, but we'll find out. He actually, let's go to the beach right near that area. Let's go there now. Well, with this next guest we have, we can actually talk baseball and football, right, Bubba?
Yeah, very excited to have former East Carolina linebacker Mark Liviano with us. He's currently in Southern California, so he'll be at the UCLA series this weekend. Mark, welcome in.
Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you calling up from the high rise from your big, big suite office there. Can you tell everybody where you are right now?
Yeah, just sitting at the beach watching the surfers and, you know, figured before I actually do some work today and when we had to talk to you guys, take a trip down and see what's going on. And so if you hear the waves in the background, that's what it is. We're getting excited for ECU baseball out here at UCLA. It's going to be fun, huh?
And check this out. In fact, there's some polls I saw. I knew we were going to do this interview with you. There's some polls, Bubba, I can't remember all of them because there's so many of them, but we are in the top 10, my friend.
Yep.
Some of the polls.
D1 baseball, Kendall Rogers, he was out at our series at Houston this weekend, where we obviously took 2 out of 3, but Kendall Rogers, a big part of that operation with D1 baseball, and they have us at 8 this week.
Well, that's good. So what is UCLA, number 1 or number 2?
Number 1.
All right, so all we have to do is win 3 out of 3, and we can get moving up to number 1, right?
Right.
If you beat number one at their place, you should be number one in my opinion.
Yeah, but UCLA is going to be a tough out, and it's going to be good for the boys to actually come out and do a nice trip and get some competitive edge with them. And I'm sure Coach will have them ready to go.
I wanted to talk about that very thing. I know you and another guy. You've got folks out there, and there's going to be a lot of Pirates out there, and people traveling there as well. Can you talk about you were talking about roadblocks before we started this off the air with the podcast, this interview. What's been going out there as far as the tailgate? I think what they're worried about, Mark, is the fact that they know how we Pirates are and we love to party. I think that's what they're worried about.
I'm sure that is. You know, the Pac-10, they don't do things like we do back on the East Coast. So there's probably a little bit of that. And UCLA's been conservative for years on campus stuff, and it's a smaller campus and it's packed in there in Westwood, so I understand it. We'll be able to get a few adult beverages in, so we'll have some of there, and you know, drink at your own pace. But you know, they just have some rules and they like to stick to them, so fine. We'll be back at the hotel and make sure the boys are doing well and see everyone. So,
now, Mark, exactly how long have you been out there now?
Oh, shoot. I stopped playing football, finished up my degree, and left. So, 96.
Okay. That's what I thought. You had pretty much been out there since graduation. Reason I asked is I know back in the Billy Godwin era, I think it was maybe 2006 or 7, something like that, the Pirates played out there.
I remember going to a Fullerton game, Pepperdine game. What else? There's a few other ones.
Yeah,
so.
We played, like you said, we played Pepperdine, we played Fullerton, we played UCLA, we played a when we came out there to play, I think it was that Pepperdine series, we played a game against Cal State Northridge, I believe it was.
Yeah, that's it, Cal State Northridge, yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's always on spring break, right? I mean, they used to make the trips out here, so it's a good.
Yeah, this year we went to the Magnolia State with Mississippi and Mississippi State, so we split that one. And now this week and next week, Mark, are two big weeks for ECU baseball. If we can hold her on the next 2 weeks, that'll set us up nicely for the rest of the season.
Yeah, very simple. Just win, right?
I wish it were that simple, but I will tell you the Pirates are very good. They make it look easy, right, Bubba?
Yeah, and I was going to say, as far as this series specifically getting on the schedule, I think it was kind of a deal like Washington was last year, where it was kind of a scheduling quirk, and obviously we had the connection with Coach Godwin, having played with Bryant Ward, who you'll hear from later on in this show. He's out there as recruiting coordinator, and I think this is his fourth or fifth year with the Bruins now. Awesome. So yeah, I think that's the way this series got put together. We needed games, and so did they. So it came together.
Well, good. You know, us Pirates out here are going to benefit. We get to go up and see the boys and see Coach. I'm not too knowledgeable on what UCLA brings to the table, but if they're number one, they're bringing everything to the table. So the boys need to be ready, make sure they're dialed in, and get to work, you know?
Yeah, and the great thing about it is it starts with the top. You're only as good as the top, and you have Cliff Godwin that's a competitor. The reason you're in the same boat, I think we're all close in age, and he's a few years younger than us, Mark, and
yeah.
You and I are about the same age and at the same time at ECU. The funny thing is that we're like anytime, anywhere, any place. I don't care if it's a parking lot, if it's a stadium, if it's a court, whatever, let's go, right? That's your favorite saying with us. Let's go. Let's go.
Get it done, you know. I mean, that was back when we were in school. We played everyone, so I mean, you know, that's the benefit of being a bigger school. You know, you get to play those other schools, and we never had a problem playing anyone. So, you know, that's the only way you're going to get better is you beat those guys. So,
and Mark, kind of coincidentally, I guess, if you will, or ironically, however you want to put it. So your final game at ECU was against Stanford in the Liberty Bowl, where we defeated the Cardinal 19-13.
Yeah, it was a defensive slugfest. Not too much scoring, but that was a nice win. We got back to the Liberty Bowl, where you know the first time we went, I thought we didn't really play up to par. I think the second one is we did what we needed to do and blasted out a win, and it was a good win because that Stanford team was actually a really good team. I think they were like 9-3, but they only had they had a loss over USC and some other top teams. So, I mean, that was a great win, and that was fun times back when we played.
Yeah, that's what I guess that was maybe my seventh or eighth grade year. We made that trip out there for that game, and and so, of course, like you were saying, you had an unbelievable Stanford team that had a tremendous turnaround. You had Tyrone Willingham, who's a Jacksonville, North Carolina native, and he did so well at Stanford, he got the Notre Dame job, and that didn't work out very well.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, as am I.
If he would have stayed at Stanford, I would have wished him luck, but he went to Notre Dame, so, well, you know, it is what it is. Can we talk about football?
Yeah, that's what I was getting. You read my mind. I was getting ready to ask you from there. You're talking about coaching and your time. You, all three of us on this interview right now, I was talking about this morning in a different interview, but 3-9, three consecutive years. I can't fathom it. I don't understand it. I don't want to understand it, but I want to get your take. Mark, being a former player, you're a competitor. What do you think so far? I know you're on the left coast, so to speak. What do you think about Mike Hughes and his staff? What does he bring to the table?
You can just tell by his interviews and what he's doing and how he's implementing his package that he's going to get it done. The question I'm going to have is how many years is he going to be here? You know, I got under over 4 or 5 years, you know?
Right.
And then he's moving on to bigger and better things. which is a good thing. You know, all our Pirates get all mad about that. But if you have a successful coach, and you can just tell, he's going to get it done. I mean, his demeanor, what he's expecting from these kids. The positive, you can just read how positive he is. So that's going to get kids that aren't starting or they're in a secondary role, as in, you know, they're coming off the backup roles. He's going to get those kids to play even hard for him, where they know he's going to have their back. So I just think it's, you can tell, you know, I don't want to bash anyone, but it's a night and day difference. I mean, I remember when JT was in there and George Coons and I were talking. He said, "What do you think?" And I'm like, "Just get it done. Just get him over with. He doesn't. He's a nice guy, but he didn't have it." And you can just see that right away. And then this past Mo seems to be a nice guy and everything, but it's just, there was too many. I mean, the one game I had a list of like 20 different things that he needed to improve, and if you're not on top of that, you're not going to get it done. But I think Coach Houston's going to get it done. You can just see it. You know, he just brought in his staff. You know, things are going to roll. So, you know, I'm looking at year two or three to be the turnaround. I think you're going to have some good success the next year or two. You're going to see these guys be a lot more competitive, and you're going to see the second and third unit guys that are going to be playing hard. You know, so.
That's the difference too. You know, Mark, you've played, and I know Bubba, you've played as well. The good team doesn't always win. A lot of time, and I mentioned that to Coach, a lot of times it comes down to effort, the difference between winning and losing.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a big deal in football. Effort is what these guys, what they put into it, and you know, so I think he's going to get that coached up, and he's going to have them in the right position. They're going to do what they're supposed to do, and he's a leader. You can tell. So we're just blessed to have him and get those wins on the board.
Are you going to make a trip to the East Coast, so to speak, or wherever the bowl game is? Because I feel confident we'll be there.
Yeah. You're marking we might only have to go to Texas or Memphis, right? Or where's all the bowls games this year?
Well, the Cure Bowl is in Orlando, Bubba? That's what
it's played at the old Citrus Bowl Stadium. It's called Camping World Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Fun. Well, if we get there, we're going. So I'll bring the kids and, you know, have a good time. I think we should be able to get there, man.
Yeah, I feel the schedule, I was upset. I was out of the country on a cruise a couple years ago when South Carolina pulled out, and we had the Gardner-Webb, you know, that's the opening game this year. And then 2 weeks, of course, Virginia Tech bowed out at Christmas time. They don't want to play us because they're scared of us now that we have a coach. So we now have a situation where we could easily be 3-2, 4-1 in the first month. We could have more wins in the first month than Scotty Moe ever had. I'm not trying to throw shade. I'm just being straight up.
No, I know. And it's a good opportunity for these kids to get in line. What I mean in line is learn where the coaches need them and adapt to them. And it's it's not the biggest teams in the world. And I'm not sure. I mean, Virginia Tech, I mean, come on, man. I mean, we played them for 20, 30 years, and they're pulling this. But it's a benefit for us. And like I said, you know, coaches will use it for teaching purposes and get ready for the second half of the season. So, you know, it's a good thing. You know, sometimes you need a break or two, and it rolls. You know, like you said, sometimes the best team doesn't always win. But, you know, we'll take the wins.
Yeah, we will. The first game, and you know who the first game again is, that the team in Raleigh with the coach saying that he broke our finger off. So,
yeah.
We may have another finger for him, but that's the whole thing. I'll try to keep it kid-friendly, family-friendly for the podcast. But I just don't like I'm kind of guy to settle the – score, so to speak, on the field and on the court. I don't do a lot of talking. Not that I'm a Division I player, never was, never will be, but that's the kind of competitor I am. Don't do a lot of talking. Talking does no good. Just settle the score on the field, and that's what I hope we'll do August 31st in Raleigh.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a different score between the first game and the last game. So, you know, he could say whatever he needs to say, but, you know, notice he wasn't saying much when we were winning, so. Get back to winning and everything's fine.
That and by the way, I want to get back mentioned about the tailgate. If people are listening right now going out there, how can people find you guys? I was going to ask that earlier and just realized I forgot to ask you.
Give out my cell number. Send me a text. Let us know where we're going. We're always around here. It's 424-634-1935. Send me a text. Tell me who it is and what you guys are doing, and we'll try to catch up with everyone. And we're going to try to go to the hotel first, but I'm not sure of the schedule.
Okay.
I know their game's at 6 o'clock, so traffic in L.A. is everywhere you go is an hour. So, you know, the hotel is basically 3 miles away from LAX, and then from the hotel to UCLA is a good 45 minutes to an hour because of Friday traffic. I know the game's at 6, so it's an early one. And then Saturday we should be back at the hotel in the morning to see, you know, everyone and just kind of co-mingle and figure out who's going. So let's see what's going to be really good.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's going to be, I know, a lot of fun. I know Bubba and I are jealous we can't be there.
Any time to see the Pirates is a good day. So we're excited about it. And, you know, like I said, can't wait to see them and make sure they bring their A game. So.
Then, of course, Saturday is a doubleheader just because making that trip across the country like that, like last year when we went to Washington, the only way Cliff would agree to do it was if we played a doubleheader so our team isn't suffering on the return.
So, yeah, so when I was a sophomore, we played Washington, and that was that's a brutal flight, you know. I think it's like a 5-6 hour flight that we had. So I understand it. To get the doubleheader in, I think they got a 2 and a 6, and then they'll be out and be home sometime in the morning. And it's better for the athletes, you know, be home in their beds on Sunday. So it's a good thing.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And, Mark, I appreciate you coming on with us, and I hope that certainly the folks out at UCLA will kind of calm down a little bit. I think they'll see that we can party and have a good time, and we're not going to tear up a whole bunch of stuff like I think some of the Texas Tech folks did after their win on Saturday night. So I'm sure everything will be great there in Westwood, and things will be intact. It definitely won't be, I promise, it won't be any Pirates. They'll be messing stuff up, right?
Definitely not. We'll drink our wine and settle down just so they'll be all right. But we'll make some noise, and hopefully we get a good attendance. I know there's a few other people that should be out there, so don't worry about that. We'll have our Pirate beverage and make sure everyone's doing well.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for the visit. I know you've got to get back to work there on the beach and eventually to the real work. And thank you, man. Appreciate it so much. And as always, go Pirates.
Go Pirates. Thank you, guys.
Great talking to Mark. Great guy, and graduated in 96, a year younger than me. And we definitely know Greenville from the time, and he's happy with Mike Houston. So who wouldn't be happy with Mike Houston? I tell you what, we'll give a whole segment. If there's anybody right now I'm not happy with Mike Houston, let's put him on the podcast and find out why in the hell you wouldn't be happy with Mike Houston. And, yes, I don't normally curse on the podcast. That's usually Kyle's job. But, I mean, who wouldn't like Mike Houston?
Some asshole.
Anyway, so probably because they want to be keep losing, I guess. But, anyway, they want to be right about their – anyway, we'll skip that. Very happy with Libiano. Good luck to the Pirates. By the way, Kyle, you probably saw that. Thanks to our buddy Steven Igo, was reading on Hoist the Colors earlier today. How about the Pirates this morning? I saw number 8 in D1 baseball, 9 in perfect game, and 10. They're number 10 in Baseball America. So three of the big polls, we're now officially in the top 10, and we have a chance. We've got a big game coming up today, as a matter of fact, against down at Wilmington. So good luck to the
Squawks,
the Pirates, and they're 17-15 on the year. I'm trying to be doing my best Bubba impersonation. They've been a little up and down. I do know that. I don't know who the starting pitcher will be for the Pirates or the Seahawks. I'm sure they'll be great. And this is Mark Scaff's last year, so you know he's probably wanting to finish off the Pirates, and certainly a legendary coach, and certainly I'm sure if they do, I'm not
do they have a College Baseball Hall of Fame? I think they do. He definitely, we like him a lot. He's come on the podcast. He's been great to us. So good luck to the Pirates today. But we wanted to, let's go to our next guest. He actually is under a LeClaire disciple. He wears number 23. He's the recruiting coordinator, UCLA Bruins. Let's go now into our interview with Bryant Ward. What would you think of our next guest? Of course, he was a Pirate and then went on to a school that you normally think about basketball. That's UCLA. But, Bubba, the baseball program there is tremendous, right?
Yeah, Dave, we're recording this on Thursday, April the 4th. A week from now, the Pirates will be headed west, so they'll be playing three games against the current number one team in the country, the UCLA Bruins. Now we're very excited to be joined by someone who, like you said, certainly no stranger to Pirate baseball fans, and he's a Greenville native, Bryant Ward. Welcome to the show.
Right on. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thank you so much, Coach. We wanted to start off, if you can, for a few minutes. And can you tell us, I know you played at Rose, won a state championship. Why did you pick to stay home and play for East Carolina?
Well, I mean, a lot of reasons. You know, I think that the baseball community there, creates an environment where there's really no reason to leave. You know, even back before Rose with Little League, and even back in the days with Randy Vincent, going up through high school with RV, and just the baseball community itself and the quality of players that have come through it, there's really nothing to run away from, you know, at least that's the way I thought. And then kind of the timing was perfect there with Coach LeClaire coming in and what he had in store and what he had envisioned for the program and players he was bringing in, and just a chance to be a part of that in front of my hometown with my two most important fans, my mom and dad, being in the stands every day. You know, it's tough for any kid to pass out, really, being from Greenville, you know, if you get the opportunity.
And when you think about Coach LeClaire, he was such a motivating man. Those of us that can't play baseball at the level you have, we would even say yes to him.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. He was certainly motivating. He was honest. And, you know, he really created just a culture of motivation, you know, where it didn't always have to come from him. It was just the entire culture, from assistant coaches to, you know, all the way from seniors to freshmen. It was a real blessing, really, you know, looking back on it, to have that man be a part of my life, you know, during the really what are the most influential years.
Brian, some of your former teammates, guys like Eric Bakich, Nick Schnabel, obviously East Carolina head coach Cliff Godwin. Talk about that tremendous coaching tree that you guys have. I saw that Michigan was out there for the Dodger College Baseball Classic, Dodger Stadium Baseball Classic, I should say, earlier this spring. So talk about that.
Yeah, that's, you know, old Michigan got us, you know. They got us. They came out and ambushed us, Bakich and his boys. I think they put up a 4 in the first inning. Got us maybe 6-3 or something, but it's awesome, you know. I mean, just me being able to, you know, you got Coach, you know, Cliff, who's the head coach, and Eric, who's the head coach, and Nick, who could be if he wanted to be, and just for me to be able to lean on those guys, you know, is tremendous. And then, you know, being able to stay connected. This is an industry where you know, especially during the summertime, you have to travel quite a bit to recruit, and, you know, showing up in Arizona or Florida or North Carolina and seeing those faces and staying connected with those guys through the game is a pretty special deal. You know, I talked to Cliff and Nick and Eric in some form or fashion multiple times a week all throughout the year. So it's a pretty good relationship.
The Pirates and Bruins have met a couple times before, but it's been right at a decade or a little over a decade since that happened. Talk a little bit about, say what you can as far as how this kind of came together for the two programs to meet this weekend, or excuse me, next weekend.
Well, I mean, I think it was just kind of random. I know we had a cancellation. I think we were supposed to go to, I believe it was TCU out of league. And I think the Pirates had somebody, you know, the non-conference, the off week matched up, and I think we both had cancellations, and it really came together kind of late in the summer. You know, Cliff gave me a call and saw that we had an availability, and then I put our head coach, Coach Savage, in contact with him, and, you know, the opportunity for two really good teams to play from different parts of the country mid-season for kind of a measuring stick for both of us is a pretty neat deal, you know. And then kind of from a personal benefit, get a chance to see Cliff and my family and probably some friends and fans and alumni that I haven't seen in quite some time. So I'm excited about it. You know, actually the first time they played,
it was under Billy Godwin.
Yep.
In 06 or 07 out there maybe?
Yeah, we have our volunteer assistant and our operations, our director of operations were on that team. So they've actually been out to Greenville and played at Clark LeClaire, and they know what it's all about. I think from what they tell me, the fans got them pretty good.
Yeah, that trip that the Bruins and that you guys made East back in 2009, I remember I was unable to attend, unfortunately, but I remember my dad and some other friends were there. It was just awful weather for baseball that weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But they
I think Garrett Cole and Bauer and UCLA brought a pretty good team out there. I think they got handled at least, I think, two of the three.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys actually won two out of three, but they were three competitive ball games, and then the Pirates did win, I think it was the series finale. But before we talk about your present club, one last question concerning your time at ECU. Obviously, you were part of four regional teams, three number one seeds, and then in 2001, hosted a regional for the first time at ECU in Wilson, and then, of course, the Super Regional in Kinston. What are the memories that you have of that, and is there any one thing in particular that stands out, or what are some of the best memories?
Well, you know, those 4 years, those are some of the best baseball memories of my life, you know. The obvious ones with the relationships that you build. But just really just being right at the ground floor of that thing. You know, I was actually the first player that signed with Coach LeClaire. I was redshirted the year, his first year, and saw that, you know, the team was, I think we finished one game over 500 and just kind of was a part of the grind and a part of the build and was fortunate enough to be able to stick around to see the fruits of the labor. But I'll tell you what, man, that Wilson Regional, you know, for a team that was a one seed and got sent on the road, you know, the NCAA was nice enough to send us to LSU the first year. you know, then they were nice enough to send us to Lafayette the second year. We went to the World Series. And then just to be able to finally, you know, get it in front of the Pirate Nation and the Pirate fan base, and to experience that for the first time, man, that was an awesome deal. That Wilson Regional, even the Kinston Super Regional, just being able to do it in front of the community and the fans and the people that were out there in the jungle, and when we had the aluminum bleachers and hanging from the trees, and for them to be able to watch that product compete for a chance to go to Omaha. That time frame, you know, that 2 week window from the announcement to that we got to host, and then the win that regional and super regionals, that seemed to be like all the hard work and you know, paying us back, and that was a pretty special time for me.
Yeah, that in the 1999 team that you referenced that went down to Baton Rouge and played at the old Alex Box.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that well because back then, of course, social media wasn't what it is now. And so being able to follow a game was pretty challenging. I think all we had was live stats. I don't even think we had any audio. But just when we saw that score pop up that we had knocked off LSU and then they had to beat us twice, which they eventually did. But in that first game, we had like an 8-1 lead, and I think we had Travis Thompson injured. So unfortunately we couldn't close them out, but
yeah, that was a pretty impressive trip there. going up to the old Alex box. But, you know, if that thing would have been at Clark LeClaire, we probably would have come home with a regional victory.
I remember that, Will. It was actually on radio. I know Henry Hinton and Jake did those games. And, wow, the emotion just for both of them being East Carolina grads and coming so close there in Baton Rouge. I remember that one, and certainly in 2001 were incredible. I remember the 2001, I was driving in my hometown, and I was driving, and I was like, hey, man, you got to drive, because I was paying so close. I wanted to make sure I didn't wreck the car. There were so many times I thought we were going to win it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all part of it, you know, and I think it all built us up for that 2001 team, and we just fell a little bit short. But the memories and the, you know, throughout all the work and all the winning and all the losing, and, you know, the man that you become out of that is a pretty powerful thing for us at the time, and then obviously current Pirate players now.
Brian, I wanted to, I know it's kind of weird to say your opponent being that you're an ECU grad, but can you talk about the head coach of the Pirates, Cliff Godwin? You know him very well.
Oh,
what,
man.
What do you know about Cliff? And
Cliff,
what's
my boy.
Your relationship with Cliff?
Cliff was standing beside me when I got married. You know, he's my boy. We were roommates and for 3 years, right over there on Lewis Street.
Yeah, okay.
We've been best friends. You know, he's almost a relative to us. He's over at Christmas when I come home, and Cliff's my boy, and he's, you know, I was so proud of him and really just happy for East Carolina when he got the job. I mean, the way about him and the fit for East Carolina athletics and Pirate baseball, I mean, I don't think there's a better guy that could be running that program than Cliff. You guys get to see it firsthand, you know. Goes much further for him than just winning and losing and trying hard. You know, he develops men and he develops winning people. I love Cliff. I could talk for, I don't know how long we're on this thing, but I could talk the whole time about how much respect I have for that dude and how good of a friend, you know, almost as close to a brother as you can get.
We know what I know when I interview him, usually I'm not starstruck, but with you guys were a special group with Coach Godwin, so it's kind of hard not to be a homer, and it's really hard to be as neutral as we can when you guys are very special. Pirates of this moment beat Duke last night, 10 straight now the Pirates have won. What have you seen? I know that you've got your own ball clubs now with UCLA, but what do you know about this current Pirate team?
Well, you know, I follow them as an alumni and a fan, you know, and that is like not as up to this point. I haven't really looked at them from a coaching, you know, or an opponent standpoint, but I follow them as a fan, and I saw the 6-1 win last night. You know, I know we both have big series this weekend, and we got Stanford, they got Houston, and I know they have good players. You know, Cliff was with the Team USA this summer. We actually met up in North Carolina. I was recruiting out there, and I know he had a couple guys, Agnos and Brickhouse, on that team, and they're talented and old and good. And, you know, you can count on, if Cliff's running the show, they're going to be tough as nails. So you can go ahead and chalk that up. But, you know, I haven't really done a lot of digging into them, but I do know that they're old and talented, and they were supposed to be good, and they're playing good.
Now, Coach, talking about your club, you're now in your fourth season at UCLA, and you guys came into the season with a lot of expectations, and you've lived up to that hype, so to speak. And thus far, you're 21-5, 7-2, coming off a 10-1 midweek win over Cal State Northridge, getting ready for that series. As you mentioned off the air, with the Stanford Cardinal up at Sunken Diamond. So talk a little bit about your club and what you've seen over the first half of the season.
We like our team. You know, we have some veteran players. You know, we got quite a few juniors that have been through it. You know, they started as freshmen. 2 years ago, we started, I think, 6 of 9 freshman position players. So they've been through it. They're talented guys. We played good baseball so far. You know, it's only, you know, halfway through the season, you know, a quarter way through if you make it all the way. But, you know, we like our team. You know, it's a college baseball, as you guys know, is a grind, and it's imperfect, and it's amateur sports, you know. But we like our club. You know, our pitching staff has been great. That's a kind of a staple here, and it starts with our head coach, obviously. And our position players have been holding their own, playing good defense, and just been playing pretty good baseball and winning games.
Yeah, you mentioned pitching and defense. When I think of UCLA and just down through the years, that's one of the things, or those are the things that I think of, because obviously if you do those two well, you're going to have a chance to win most games that you're in. And right now, your team ERA is right at 2.5, which is remarkable. And then also your fielding percentage is .980.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's our Coach Savage is, you know, our head coach is a pitching coach. And that's how he's built his program. He's really, really, I mean, I've been around a lot of pitching coaches, and he's without question, you know, the best one I've been around. That's kind of been the winning formula for baseball as long as I can remember. You know, if you can pitch it and you can play defense, then you have a chance to consistently win, you know, especially against the good teams. So that's how we built our program. We got good pitching. We got a really good pitching coach, and we have good athletes on defense. That's kind of how we pride ourselves, and we're swinging the bats a little bit too. But at the end of the day, you know, when we grade our performance, it always starts in the mound, and then it goes to the defensive side, and then we look at the offensive side. That's kind of the steps that we take.
If you would, talk a little more specifically about your weekend rotation, and then secondly, after that, if you would talk about the stellar bullpen that you have that has the likes of a guy such as Holden Powell.
Well, our rotation coming in, you know, Ryan Garcia was kind of, I guess, somewhat penciled in as our Friday night starter. He had a setback before the season, so he's just working his way back. He started started two Sundays ago, was his first start against Arizona. And then he started last weekend against USC. So he's going on Sundays now, at least at this point. So our Friday guy has been Zach Pettway, the freshman. You know, stuff isn't off the charts. You know, it doesn't jump off the page, but he's competitive. He's got pitchability. He knows how to pitch. He was our Sunday guy last year as a freshman. You know, it's not true what you would think of as true Friday night stuff at UCLA or East Carolina, but it's pitchability. He's kind of got a knack to get people out. Saturday guy is a big right-hander. Redshirt junior Jack Ralston, who just kind of came on this year, really. You know, it's kind of been a long road for him, and he's kind of figured it out a little bit so far. He's held his own. I had a tough start against Arizona. Came back last week against USC and bounced back for, I think he went 8 1/3. Gave up one run on a home run in the ninth. So he's coming off a good start, and then Garcia's mixing in it as our Sunday guy now. You know, and he's kind of the one on the staff that's got the Friday stuff, but it's going on Sunday. And then from a bullpen standpoint, you know, we got quite a few guys in there that can get it done. We've kind of been leaning on Nate Hadley in the seventh, and Kyle Moore in the eighth, and then going to Holden Powell in the ninth. You know, who's a college closer. He's got good stuff, throws hard, spins the ball well, you know, played some shortstop in high school, so he's athletic in that way. Competitive guy, wants the ball. Closed last year for the most part as a freshman, so that's kind of been his role since he showed up in Westwood, and he's embraced it pretty well so far this year.
Yeah, that's something that really jumped out at me, what you referenced as far as having the guys that consistently throw the seventh, eighth, and ninth, because, and just looking at the numbers, they had something like 22, 19, and 17 appearances, and you've, of course, only played 26 ball games. So just having such well-defined roles, that's is kind of unusual to see that many appearances this early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how, you know, that's how coach likes to do it. You know, they do that a lot in the big leagues, too, you know, just in terms of defining roles. You know, you obviously got to have the personnel to do it. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of been our recipe so far is, you know, starter goes, and then if he can get to the seventh and turn it over to Nate, then that's what he does. If he can't, we'll piece it together and try to get to the seventh and turn it over to Nate and Kyle and then Holden for the ninth. You know, but it's worked out pretty good. It shortens the start a little bit, which is good. You know, that way the guys can just feel free to just get after it as hard as they can for as long as they can instead of trying to have to pace themselves and go, you know, 7, 8 or 9 innings. It's worked out for us so far.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, moving over to the offensive side of things, tell us who some of your top bats are and who Pirate fans need to keep an eye on next weekend.
Well, you know, we got quite a few guys we got quite a few talented guys. I mean, you know, probably the coming into the season, Chase Strump, our second baseman. He's a 3-year starter. He's a junior this year. He was an All-American last year. He got off to an okay start. He's coming around. He's a right-handed hitter, good hitter. He's kind of been penciled into the three hole all year. Michael Tolia, first baseman, switch hitter, talented guy, big guy. You know, between him and Brickhouse, it might be the two biggest first basemen in California on that weekend. The big kid switch hitter has some power. You know, he's kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start, but has been swinging it well as of late. You know, those will probably be our top two. But we have a left fielder, Jack Stronach, who's actually kind of taking advantage of an injury, and he's been in the four hole for us. He's hitting north of 400, so he's swinging the bat well. And then we have another outfielder, Jeremy Idens, who got hurt. He's supposed to get cleared, I think, the week the Pirates come up, so he might get a couple of at bats. Try to get him back ready for the Pac-12 the following weekend. But we have some veteran players offensively. You know, some have gotten off to a better start than others, which is normal. But there's some talented guys out there, and you know, we expect to be some physical, talented position players on both sides of the ball that weekend. You know, between our guys and Cliff's guys.
You know, Brian, before we let you go, real quick, I know we've had you for a good while here, but
my understanding
is there's a whole bunch of Pirate Nation out in L.A., and there's going to be a huge tailgate there, and I know the former player for the Logan years, right before you came during my time, Mark Lembiano, he's leading the charge. There's a lot of people in the L.A. area that are going to be there at the series next weekend.
Yeah, that's, you know, my mom and dad are coming out, too, which are Pirate fans, you know, so that's exciting. My mom, dad, and sister coming out. I know my dad said Bill Clark's coming out.
Oh wow!
I've heard a few names. I know the big guy will be out here doing his deal.
He's everywhere, man.
He can't miss it.
I love Matt Maloney.
Actually, I mean, my dad told me about that tailgate. He told me about Libby. I remember Libiano. I remember hearing that name over the loudspeaker when I was a kid. But yeah, I looked him up. He lives right there in Redondo Beach.
Yeah.
Just maybe 5 minutes south of where I live. So that's exciting, you know. That'll be neat to see some faces, and you know, it's no surprise really to me that the Pirate fan base, the Pirate baseball fan base, is alive and well. You know, that's certainly no surprise to me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Coach, maybe we'll hear a purple gold chant there at Westwood.
Yeah, hopefully they just remember that I used to play there and they don't rag on me too much. You know?
Exactly.
Hopefully they go after a first base coach and not the third base coach.
That's right. That's right. Well, we appreciate you. Huge honor to have you on, and certainly good luck to the Bruins and an amazing program you have there. And we've been talking about it a lot. We're looking forward to the series because of you and the opportunity to play right now with the number one team in the country. And definitely good luck to you guys, and hopefully we'll meet again, and it won't be like a 10-year period.
There you go. Not a problem. I appreciate you guys reaching out, and I'll be following the Pirates, and good luck to them and Cliff and you guys, and we'll see you here in a couple weeks.
Thanks very much to Brian. He's actually, as you heard there, Kyle, he was the very first recruit for Coach Keith LeClair. He wears 23, Eric Backage up in Michigan, and of course, at home here in Greenville, Cliff Godwin does for the Pirates in honor of their – what a coaching tree. But it says a lot about Keith LeClair and what a great coach he was and a motivator to these guys that were on that on those special squads in the late 90s, early 2000s. You can't say enough about Coach LeClair, and now with his disciples, they're the coaching tree.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of guys coaching. You got – Cliff, you got him out there at UCLA. You got forgive me for not remembering his name right now.
Eric Backage in Michigan.
Yeah. So it's good to see those guys coaching and keeping Coach LeClair's legacy living on. And hopefully this weekend, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, if we could somehow take two out of UCLA, I mean, it'd be big time. But it's a good test. I mean, it's a good if you make it to Omaha, those are the kind of teams you're going to have to beat. Good test.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. So
that's
thank
right.
you, Rick
Woo.
Blair.
That's right.
And Corey Glory's got to do that if we win it, right?
That's right. We'll see if he will. I mean, I'd be a nice problem to have, I'm sure. if he does it. Hey, interesting note. You brought it up in the podcast with him the other night. Saturday we're playing a doubleheader against UCLA, and we're undefeated in doubleheaders this year.
And I saw on Hoist too. It was a post today about in the message boards about the games. Well, I will tell you this: the only way you're going to be able to, you won't be able to see it, but you'll be able to hear it.
Yeah.
And with Corey Glore on the Pirate IMG, that would be the Learfield IMG.
There's ridiculous that there's no
college.
Streaming. Ridiculous! There's no video streaming for those games.
I mean, when you think about those
UCLA,
that's big time. That's big time, and I can't believe. And hey, last time we checked, which is today being Monday, they are the number one team in the daggone country. I mean, how can they not have? I mean, we're not number one, but you know, we're now a top 10 team, and all our games are. I guess we're gonna have to. I guess we're going to have to take it upon ourselves to have a video team, a production team to go out there to UCLA.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. I just don't understand that, especially with, if you think about Facebook, anything, even if it was like, you remember with
you
the...
You know, I saw actually somebody, I want to say it was a writer from Baseball America, was tweeting about that today, about there being no video coverage for this game and how ridiculous
and,
it was.
And it's number one against number eight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we're two teams that don't matter. And UCLA has got a good shot at winning the whole thing this year. So, you know, it's kind of like the Yankees when you have a pro team.
They won't win the whole thing if we do.
That's right. Well, I'm hoping it's us. But I'm just saying, I'm making the point that the number one team in the country, you would think that they would have, regardless if it's a non-conference or conference game, that they would stream. But or what else?
I don't know how popular baseball is in L.A. I know that there is definitely a following for college baseball on the West Coast
right.
In terms of interest. Sorry, forgive me for yawning, Pirate fans. In terms of interest of fans at UCLA, maybe there's not a big interest. I don't know. I know the Pac-12 Network and Pac-12 Networks Plus covers conference games, but
right.
It's crazy that there's no streaming at all for this series.
Especially another thing, too, I was thinking about today. Two things. ESPN, you would think that I'm hoping with our new package that they'll do more college baseball. And this is
yeah, they series. Are. They are all college baseball games. Excuse me.
In 2 years, right?
All our games, yeah. All baseball games right now that, from what I understand it, All the games right now that are streaming on ecufireworks.com will be moved to ESPN Plus. So all our baseball games in 2 years should be on ESPN Plus.
That'll be great. By the way,
all our home games and I'm assuming all conference games.
Yeah, that will be. Oh my God, that's going to be awesome. And the other thing I was going to mention along those lines is with our conference, the way they did the tournament with that second field and all that, and they had the because of the potential weather, bad weather, and they had the camera right through that screen. Anything would be, to me, the way I look at it, is anything would be better than nothing at all. I mean, there's enough people. I mean, I was thinking about it. How ironic is that they're in L.A., Los Angeles, home of movies, and they can't film anything? I mean, don't you think it's funny?
Are you suggesting that a fan just, like, come up with something bootleg? And
yeah. You don't think I would? You don't think I – hey, get this. The Pac-12 is so sorry as far as their – network.
Rice, I don't know if you listen to our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've Rice got in LA from Pirate Radio. I don't know if you listen to our podcast. Make it happen, man. You're a movie maker. You get some kind of little small camera out there.
You made the Jimmy Buffett the documentary. Can't you at least do that?
Do a live stream, man. Let's get a live stream of the baseball game.
Yeah, how bad? I mean, they can't – what are they going to say to you? They can't stop you. Because nobody's broadcasting the damn thing.
Well, I guess they could, but
technically, I guess they could, but
yeah.
But they're not broadcasting it, so what difference does it make? They're not.
Yeah.
We're not competing with the broadcast like we
have.
No,
that much is true.
So, but anyway, they could say it because it's their university, and we're like at the game. But anyway, hopefully there'll be somebody doing that. If not, we've got our great event, which we'll keep up with the score, and obviously. You can just listen to or watch on Facebook Live. You can watch us, and we'll talk about. We'll keep up with the score, right?
Absolutely, yeah. If you can't join us in person, yeah, watch it on Facebook Live. That's another point. We should have a Facebook Live stream. Check the Sports Objective 5 o'clock Saturday. We should have a Facebook Live stream. Or will they be able to stream it live? Now, some places, guys, listeners. You won't be able to listen to the podcast live that you're listening to it right now. Some
Apple Podcasts, I think they can. And
Apple Podcasts, it'll
obviously
be live.
Obviously, Blog Talk.
Well,
I know there's two come to mind. There may be a couple others, but I know that.
We'll try to,
We'll put a link. We'll put a link up.
Yeah, it's Blog Talk, Apple Podcast. There may be some others. Just check. It'll be archived immediately afterwards, though, everywhere. So. But try to listen live if you can.
It's more fun live, I think. I know you said that. You and I, and we'll see if who the third host will be. That's been an interesting debate behind the scenes. Will Bubba make it? His son Riley is in. For those who don't know, and I understand his pain. My son Alexander and my daughter Mackenzie are respectively in baseball and T-ball. And luckily, they don't have a game. I'm not sure about a practice, but I know they don't have a game on Saturday. And so I get a chance to go to the spring game, and then afterwards I'll get a chance to do the Purple Gold game after party on 5 to 7 O'Cools. I want to give a shout-out to Linus Martinez and all the great Steve and all the great staff. The two of them are the owners, and they've been tremendous to us. And Kyle, you and I both are loyal people. And I would say Bubba is, too. I'll speak for him. We are very happy that he knew me from going to O'Cools for many years, but he didn't know me. He knew my face, not my name, and he trusted us. And so we're going to have it there again. We're very excited about it. The people are just, excited. There's a lot of people I know. There's excitement about it, especially you never know. I will just say this again, and you know where I'm going with this. I'm not going to say a word, but you never know who's going to show up.
Yeah,
and we don't know.
That's right. And we can guarantee, right now Marcus Crandall was supposed to be there. Chris Moore.
Right.
Dakota Marshall.
I know that Garrett McGinn is going to be there.
Garrett McGinn. Terry Gallagher. Who else we got?
Yeah, there's a number of people that
we'll
make
a touchdown. Tony Collins.
Yeah. We got a lot of guys that are going to be closer. It's kind of like a game time decision. They're guys that are
coming that we don't even know about yet that are just going to show up. That's what's scary if you're trying to give numbers. But I would say we probably have.
Yeah, but you know, if you're a fan out there listening, man, come on out and hang out with the former Pirate football players. And
we got a huge dining room there.
Yeah, just hang out, say hey.
The weather's supposed to be really good, and we got the patio, by the way.
If you want somebody to sign something, I'm sure they'll sign something for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Take a picture with you.
Yeah. Have a beer.
We won't have – I know somebody that won't be there. Jim Cornette, we want him there, but he – I don't think he can make it. Yeah.
Okay, that's random.
I know, I'm saying people that won't be there that we would love, you and I would love to be there. So.
Yeah, Jim Cornette has nothing to do with Pirate football, but yes, we do love Jim Cornette, but also.
You never know who will show up.
Yeah, that's right. And there could be, we'll tease it. We won't say who. There is a possibility of a very special guest being there.
We're working
who.
On it.
I'll say who it's not. It's not Mike Houston this time.
No.
Now we of course will welcome Mike Houston if he can come. Please come, Mike.
Well, I know that I know that the coaches were invited, not by us, by other people, and they actually have a huge recruiting weekend. And so what they are doing is they're focusing on that, and that's understandable. So we would much rather them be recruiting. And getting great players in for this program. So that's exactly why they're not going to be there. And maybe they can come. We'll definitely have them for the summertime. They'll have some off time and some downtime, and we'll try to get them there. And we'll make the announcement. We'll go ahead and make the announcement after the spring game. We already have the date, and Kyle, you know this, for the nostalgia party. We've already set the date, and so we'll give that.
I did not know that, actually.
Yeah, I told you don't remember. I did tell you. Okay. I mentioned it once, but it doesn't matter because we were doing this one first. So we'll do one at a time. But we already have the nostalgia party, as Bubba's calling it, 2.0. We'll have that, and it'll be the end of July. I will say that. I won't give the date just yet. But we're working on, right now, the spring one. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Come out. It's 5 to 7. It's free to get in. But obviously, by the way.
Buy folks, wings, beer, burgers.
Linus is doing us a huge favor by allowing us to come, and he's hosting it and everything, and at a cool, and it's in the Big Lots Shopping Center. We'd love to definitely make sure that you come out, and obviously Pirates, I have a good feeling that everybody's going to take care of the waitresses. Make sure it's not, we don't pay for, we're not buying, it's not an open bar, it's not, I want to make that very clear. We had a situation last time, it wasn't as bad as what I thought it would be. I wish we had the budget, that would be awesome. If we had sponsors and a budget.
You're responsible for whatever you drink or eat.
Yeah.
That's on you. That's on you.
Yeah,
bring your
cash, your debit card, traveler's check.
And that's for our guests and for people. Everybody, you're responsible for yourself, for whatever you eat or drink, and take care of the waitresses.
Absolutely. So we appreciate. I just want to say hello to, again, Linus and Steve, thank you so much because those guys have been really good to us. Going all the way back to May of last year is when we set up the first one, and thank you guys for that. We're going to have more podcasts out this week as well, so appreciate that. And thank you, Bubba. You want to say anything? You have any final words, Bubba?
Dave, I didn't fall. Stacy was over here making me do things. I had to paint her toenails. I just wanted to say.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
I just wanted to say you can follow us on Facebook.
Okay.
Just go type in the Sports Objective on Facebook. Of course, Twitter. I love Twitter. It's at the Sports OBJ on Twitter.
Our email.
You can check out our Instagram. That's where you can find us on social media. And David and Kyle will see you. They'll see you Saturday at the park, and I maybe I'll be there. Maybe I won't. Thanks, Bubba.
Thank you, Bubba. All right, now Kyle. Now that Bubba's done talking, what did you want to say before we go?
Just everybody, come on out and join us. That's the spring game. Go out, enjoy the spring game. Watch the Pirates on the field. Check out the new look Pirate defense, and what this football team is going to look like under Mike Houston. It's your first chance to see it. Then after that, come out 5 o'clock, 5 to 7 p.m. Professor O'Cool's, be there or be square, and even if you're a square, be there.
Yeah, I'm sure Kyle will make a mixtape for you. We were talking about old
right, yeah, Bon Jovi. I will.
What's your favorite mixtape? We'll have to talk. Let's talk about that on a future podcast. I'll give
favorite
you time. Like songs that you put on a tape back in the day, maybe to win somebody's heart, a girl's heart, or maybe just the fact that you had certain songs you liked back in the day. But your favorite mixtape, we'll do that. And folks, you can be thinking about playing along, put it up on social media as well. Well, maybe we try to do that as well. Well, we got the big event. Please come out again. And thanks to our great guests. Thank you, Mr. Kyle, as well. And also, Mark Libiano. And we also have Brian Ward from UCLA. Good luck to the Pirates tonight as they take on the Seahawks of UNCW. And then, of course, this weekend they're going to be out Friday night at UCLA and then a doubleheader on Saturday. For Bubba Rosenbaum, No Show Rosenbaum, and Kyle from LaGrange Barber, I am Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.